Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The body of Christ, it is the blood of Jesus. You know, Dr. King was, I don't know of a more amazing citizen that America's ever produced than Dr. King. Not just because of his accomplishments, but the way he accomplished. You know, it's not only what you accomplished, it's how you accomplished. If you became a president or a senator, how did you get to that White House? We've had a number of presidents on both parties that have literally bought their way to the White House. And so you always remember that when you know, study anything about their. But then when you talk about Dr. King, he changed this country, but he changed it with an understanding and a revelation about God and about creation, about all of us are created equal. And he did it with such integrity. And integrity is such an integral part of being who you are. We're all familiar. A nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Content of character is so important. And one of the chief qualities of character is loyalty. And there is almost no loyalty left in this world today. The Bible said that the love of money is the root of all evil. The reason why that is because it causes people to do hurtful things to other people just to advance themselves. So when I talk about Pastor Brandon and talk about my family, I'm talking about loyalty. We are loyal to one another. I heard somebody talking about their mother. Their mother is 80-some years of age now, and they're talking disrespectful about her. It doesn't matter what your mother did. I did not change my opinion about their mother at all. I changed my opinion about them because they were disrespecting their mother. Those things should have never been said. They have no character, no loyalty. So blood is thicker than water. Loyalty defines family. And so I have people in this church that are literally like my family because of their loyalty, for loyalty to one another. One of those people texted me today or this week about their plans, and I just thank them for their loyalty. It's an amazing quality. You know, like Pastor Sean is loyal to Miami Dolphins. How could that be? But it's kind of paying off this year. Pastor Brandon is loyal to the Cowboys. Look at the shape he's in. I'm not really loyal to any sports teams because they're not like family. I don't really care. You know, I'll change in the middle of the season. But I'm loyal to this nation, loyal to my family, loyal to my friends, loyal to this church, loyal to the people that are in this congregation that have built this church. And that is an amazing quality. It defines what family really is. You know, I have a couple of friends. And over the years, they're pastors, ministers. Over the years, we've been very, very close. And this particular church and ministry has flown this pastor in to preach to that church over the last 20 years. And last year, this guy, for some unknown reason, moves to that city, takes 200 of their people and starts a church. And he said, but I did it the right way. I wrote him a letter. There is no right way to be disloyal. And so I had to pick up the phone and call that family and say, I'm sorry, but y'all are wrong, and we're no longer friends. I hope you're saved. I hope you're in heaven. But you told me you have no character. Anybody that would do that after they have been so good to you, I knew that if they had the opportunity, they would do the very same thing to me. That's not somebody I want to deal with. The Bible said mark those kind of people. You need to search those people around you that are loyal to you and respect that. And people that are disloyal, you're not ugly to them. You don't wish them terrible things. You just ignore them and avoid them, because if you don't, you will be hurt. And I'm a real believer that you need to protect yourself. The Bible said you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so if you're married to a man that's bouncing you off the wall, or married to a woman that's hitting you over the head with a skillet every day, you need to do something about that, because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. and you need to take care of yourself. So it's not ugly to take care of yourself, but you need to reward those people that are loyal. And I appreciate so much. I've got a friend that his son has been so disloyal to him. But I just thank God for Pastor Brandon and Pastor Sean and Becky and people that are loyal to me and other people in this church that are literally like family. I want to know that I appreciate that. It doesn't go unnoticed. I know that there's always pressure on you to be disloyal because that's the world we're living in. But I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And so that's the greatest honor that you have given me, my family, and this church. And I thank you for your honor on this clergy month. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of the word of the Lord? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. You may be seated. My subject today is earthly benefits of heavenly affections. This text is not a prohibition against enjoying life or the things on earth. It's simply telling us that we need to prioritize, get things in a proper perspective. Christianity should not be just a fire escape, as it is for so many people. Was supposed to be a love story. But we not only have decided our destination when we got saved and filled with God's Spirit, and destination is all important, but we also need to decide our mode of travel. The benefits of travel. Enjoy the journey, Dwight Thompson coined it 25 years ago. Enjoy the journey. How are you going to get there? You know, there's lots of ways to go to California. You can walk. I don't want to do that. You can ride a horse. I don't want to do that. You can hitchhike. I don't want to do that. You can ride in a car with four ball tires and stop every 25 miles and figure out how to get another tire on that car. Or you can ride in a Cadillac or a Mercedes. I don't want to do that. It takes too long to get there. Or you can ride on a jet plane. If I got to go to California, that's the way I want to go. It does matter how you go. You know, I know a lot of people from a lot of walks in life. And a number of years ago, Sister Becky was ministering on a Saturday. We tried not to do that too much because we always had the chance that we wouldn't get back for our Sunday service. And we always put our services here ahead of everything. And so we tried to schedule where we knew we'd get back. But she was in Amarillo, and she was going to get back for a Sunday morning service. And lo and behold, her flight was canceled. And she couldn't get back here. But I know a lot of people. I said, Becky, that's not a problem. She said, it's not. I said, no, I've got some friends in Amarillo that are leaving in just a couple hours, and they can get you back here. She said, really? Oh, okay. Who are they? Well, the friends of mine were hog farmers. And they were in a pickup truck with a load of hogs behind them. They were all men. It was going to be crowded in that truck. They were going to be dipping snuff, using coarse language, telling stories. Sister Becky just opted not to do that. She said, I'm not coming home in a hog truck. And mercifully, the Lord arranged things where she did get a fight. But I never could understand why she was so picky. That would have been an enjoyable journey. You know, there's a lot of people going to heaven, but some of us are going on a jet plane and some of us are going on a hog truck. Just your choice how you want to travel. I like to travel. What I don't do, all of my friends, I didn't have a lot of money and I was coming up. All of my friends travel first class. I don't travel first class. I travel coach for a couple hours. Do you know how much money it costs to travel first class? Your plane fare can go from $300 to $4,000 traveling first. I just don't do it. I'm not going to pay that. Say, well, do you have the money? That's not the point. I'm not going to do that. It's too expensive. I'd rather take that $4,000 and invest it in something that I'm going to have. So I don't travel first class unless somebody else insists on it. A friend of mine said, "Will you meet us in New York?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll meet you in New York." And so he said, "I'll just get the tickets and everything." And he said, "You can pay me when I get back. I can go to New York and stay in a hotel and for well under $1,000, several hundred dollars. I can go to California, to New York, stay in a good hotel, eat good meals, fly in a plane, whatever." And so he said, "I'll just get it." And he said, "You just pay me back." When he sent me my part of the bill, it was $50-some hundred. We flew first class. We stayed in the best hotel he could find. We ate in the best. I said, "Never, ever again." Well, that was a mistake. I'm not going to let anybody else decide how I'm going to spend my money. And so he's still my friend, but he's never going to make my reservations for me again. I'll guarantee you that. I didn't say anything to him because it was too late. I paid it, but I sure didn't like to pay it. But, friend, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want it to be a morbid affair. I want to enjoy the journey. And I guess that's, people said, have you changed much? You know, you say when you were 10 and filled with the Holy Spirit when you were 13 and start preaching when you're 16. Have you changed much? Not much. Probably the only thing I've changed, Brother Bud, is I'm enjoying the journey. Man, when we first got in church, you didn't enjoy the journey. You endured every bump in the road. I mean, you just knew it was going to be terrible because that's the way it was. But to take the fact that God wants to save you gloriously and what he has prepared for you and to tell people that it's going to be terrible getting there, that would be contradictory of the 33rd Psalm, verse 5. "He loveth righteousness, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." This earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It would contradict Psalm 35:27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteousness, because yea, they say continually, let the Lord be magnified with such pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." A compilation of scriptural example of godly people that lived and enjoyed the pleasures of this life are throughout the Word of God. Just because you're saved does not mean you got to be miserable. We've said for a long time, a lot of people look like they drank persimmon juice before they came to church. They're saved, but they're mad about it. Now, what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches us we're to come into his courts and into his gates with a tremendous attitude of appreciation and love and anticipation. So this is not a scriptural injunction to seek suffering over pleasure, but rather instruction to prioritize rather than prohibit. God is not saying that you can't have it. He's just saying get it in order. It's Paul restating of Jesus' principle of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And then he said, "All these things shall be added unto you." What is our priority? Jesus leaves no room for ambiguity. If we are going to be his followers, if we're going to be Christians, we must put the kingdom of God first in our life. Paul redefines that principle in my text. Set your affections on things above. What does that really mean? In a capsule, it means love God. Love God more than anything. Easily said, but a little more intense to embrace. The scripture is clear. We cannot love God whom we have not seen if we don't love God's people whom we do see. We cannot love God's kingdom and reject his house as so many people lay claim to. "Well, I'm a Christian. I just don't like to go to church." No, you're not. Because you have no affection for the things that are above. If we're going to emulate the man after God's own heart, the psalmist David, we're going to have to manifest the same allegiance and love for God's house that made him declare, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." We are self-deceptive to profess a love for God and have a neglectful aversion to come into God's house. It belies our confession and reveals our heart. If you have a love for God, you will love God's house, you'll love God's word, you'll love God's people. It's just that simple. The Bible states that emphatically. Spiritual affection grants us heavenly reward without question. Friend, when you're saved, you can daydream all you want to about how great heaven is going to be And the Bible said no matter how great and creative you are in your mind, you can't even imagine what God has prepared for you. There is no question about the destination. David, a deeply spiritual man, introduces a second concept, and that is that not only can we have this amazing destination, we can have this amazing journey. It's called heavenly affection, but it produces earthly benefits. One of the things it means to be a Christian is that you have a daily relationship with God. Have you ever known people that you literally loved to see them because you knew that when they came, if they were going to be with you a minute or a day, it was going to be a good time? You're just going to be lifted up because you were in their presence. Have you ever known the other people? You just dreaded it. That's the reason why God created caller ID. Just so you can look at them and say, not today, buddy. Just not up to that. I've got friends that I have to pray before I call them. I have to go through a psychological reevaluation before I talk to them because I know I've got to get a little higher than I am because when I get through talking with them, I'll be a little lower than I was when I call them. But I've got other people. I've got a friend that pastors a great church, and people say that he exaggerates badly. I don't want to say that because I love him. But he told me, he said, you're the only friend I've got that I can call and tell what's happening in my life because, said, nobody else believes it, but said, you always encourage me. And then I took that as a real compliment. I want to be an encourager of your dream. I want to say something positive about what you're doing. And I'd like to have just a few more people in my life like that. One of my friends that's dead now, and he was one of my very best friends, used to talk behind my back, and he finally got bold enough to say it to my friend, to my face, but he nicknamed me 75 and Sunny. He said, when you talk to Steve in San Antonio, it don't matter if it's in the dead of winter, it's 75 degrees and sunny. He never has a bad report. He doesn't pastor anything except perfect people. Never has anything but a great service. Friend, he thought that was making fun of me and an insult. I thought it was a high compliment. And when he began to talk about me like that, I began to talk about myself. He'd call me and he'd say, or I'd call him and I'd say, hey, it's old Sonny in 75. And he'd just laugh. He knew I knew he'd been talking behind my back, but I didn't care because it was a good thing. And that is, I'm enjoying the journey. I choose not to live in the doldrums. I choose not to focus on the negative because I believe this is a great journey. And I believe that God is doing great things for me, not once in a while, not one time when he saved me, and another time when I die. Some Christians think the only two great days in your life is when you get saved and when you die. Friend, I want to tell you, every day of my life is a great day, and I celebrate life, and I celebrate abundance, and most of all, I celebrate the God that made it possible, because I have a daily God. Daily God. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah, David said. Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. The writer would say in Lamentation that they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, because his compassion fail not, and his mercies have not been consumed. They are new every day. What a God we serve. A God that's interested in every day of your life. We have to love a God that did not save you and abandon you to your own resources, but every day it's benefits, bread, and mercy. Every day. Every day it's benefits, bread, and mercy. Every day it's benefits, bread, and mercy. I praise my daily God. God, David called it benefits. Paul called it earnest. And I call it interest. There was a day in the past where you could take your money to the bank and earn 10% on it. That means that if you worked hard and you were able to accumulate a couple $100,000 and your lifestyle was not too lavish, you could put $200,000 in the bank, have $20,000, and never work another day in your life. You could live on the interest. Unfortunately, that is not true. For the people that borrow money today, it's a great thing. For people that have money, it's not such a great thing because you simply cannot live on your interest. But Paul would write to the church at Ephesus and say, whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. In a few short words, the Apostle Paul opens up a world that humanity never knew existed, an inheritance that man cannot even imagine. The Bible said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. The picture and provision of wealth of God is a new thing to most people. Even Christianity today has not bought into the truth that God is a rich God, and God does not save people to keep them poor, but he saves people to make them rich in every dimension of life. What the writer of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, called a new and living way. That's where we got the name of this church. Paul reveals the concept of a covenant, a will, a new testament, or a new will that is superior to the Old Testament. A will where a person can inherit great wealth simply by being born again. When you get saved, you are immediately a owner of a mansion. That's what the Bible said. Jesus said that, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you so. You can be in abject poverty, but if you truly get born again, you are immediately in an ownership of a mansion. The Bible said that. A will where a person can inherit great wealth simply by being born again. But the Bible writes again in Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Seemingly all Christians agree on the wealth and the blessing to come, both spiritually and physically. There's not a Christian in the world that doesn't believe that there is a heaven, that he does not believe there is a mansion, does not believe there is a pearly gate, does not believe there is a golden street. We all can agree on that. The walls of jasper, the ecstasy of eternal life, joy without end. However, in the text, Paul is not talking primarily about the inheritance or the future. He's talking about the now, and he's talking about the earnest. Paul is talking about the foretaste of glory, just a little bit of what is to come. He warns us that we are limited, but not totally earthbound or fleshly restricted. We are made to sit together in a heavenly place. Our sight is not what it will be, but we are not blind. Friend, when you get saved, a part of heaven becomes you. It gets inside of you. It changes you from the inside out. It changes your vision. The Bible said, we now see through a glass darkly. Perhaps some of you have had eye surgery or eye injury, and you had to limit the light and wear dark glasses. You could still see. You just saw darkly. But praise God, one of these days we're going to come face to face and we are going to know everything there is to know. But in the meanwhile, I see through a glass darkly. That means I'm not blind. I can still see. God's not going to give us our inheritance now, but he will give us an earnest of our inheritance. The Bible said that Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, that's one of the keys to faith, is that God gives you a sight that the world does not see. You don't have to have evidence to see things. You see things that other people do not see. You know that God is involved in your life. You see the hand of God moving in your life. Why is that? Because you're living on the earnest. You're living on the interest. You're saying, praise God, I've got a great reward coming, but in the meanwhile, I'm going to use the interest. I'm going to live on the interest. I'm going to live on the earnest money. God said I could do that. You see, the Bible teaches us it did not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be like him. We are going to have a brand new body. Isn't it going to be great? Wonderful body. Not only is it going to be the right size, it's going to be free of pain. It's going to be free of sickness. But the Bible teaches us that by his stripes we are healed. What is that? That healing is simply the earnest in what we're going to have. We might not have that new body now, but we can get the health of that new body. Let's talk about just a few moments in closing. Let's talk about the fringe benefits of salvation. Fringe benefits, an extra benefit, supplementing or employee salary. For example, a company car or meals or health insurance. That's called fringe benefits. Friend, I want to tell you, there's a lot of fringe benefits when you live for God. If there was not a heaven, it'd still be a good deal. But oh, thank God there is a heaven. But I want to tell you, the Lord blesses me from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Christians that find this life a miserable life and they only endure for the eventual reward at the end simply do not know the God that I know. Because He's a good God, not in the future. He's a good God in the past, and He's a great God in the present. He is a God that takes care of me. Friend, one of the things that people would like to have, and they seek it with everything they can, with money and position and fame and all kinds of things, but they still don't have it. People are looking for joy, but I join with the apostle and say, what I have received is joy unspeakable. It's better than being happy. You can measure happiness because of something that happened to you. You won the lottery, you got married, you got a new car, a good job, you're happy for a time. But when you get joy unspeakable, it is an eternal flowing fountain of God. Jesus talked about it to the woman at the well, said, you'll never thirst again. This is an eternal thing that God gives me. It's a benefit. Some people are going to be depressed because a football game is lost today. Some people are going to be depressed because an election is lost in a few days. But friend, it will not affect my joy one iota, because my joy is not in sports. My joy is not in money. My joy is not in politics. My joy is not in the events of this earth. My joy is in the Lord. And every day He loadeth me with His benefits. You see, if the Lord can give us mercy fresh every morning, can He not give us every attribute of the Spirit fresh every morning? Joy is not something I got once and never get it again. Every day of my life, I get the joy of the Lord. How great is it? No matter what a wordsmith you are and no matter how many languages you speak, you don't have enough words or enough increased vocabulary to be able to describe the joy that Lord can give you. You're just joyful. You want to sing when there's no reason to sing. You want to shout when it makes a fool of you. Why? Because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Number two, fringe benefits. The benefits here on earth of a heavenly affection. Number two is, I've got peace, peace that passeth understanding. Friend, if you can explain your peace, it's not God's peace. It's because you've got a good job and you found the favor of the boss. You know, that can change overnight. You see, the peace of this world is a very temporary thing. It comes and goes. There's an ebb and flow. But when you get the peace of God, what is the peace of God? Knowing that the Lord is on my side. Knowing that the Lord will fight my battles. Knowing that I am in the Father's hand and no man can pluck me out. Knowing that He will not allow me to fail, to fall. He will not allow me to stay down. Knowing that He has written my name. Knowing that He fought devils for me and He withstood angels for me, saying He is the apple of my eye. It gives me peace that I can't comprehend. You said, I've got an IQ that's off the chart. You still cannot explain or understand the peace that God gives you. It's just an understanding that God is on my side, and it doesn't matter who's against me, and it doesn't matter what the devil says. One of my great benefits is I've got peace that is beyond understanding. Number three, I've got comfort, just comfort. You know, when you get sick, they talk about comfort food. I don't even know what that means. You know, I was nearly killed, and the therapist came, and she said, you need to eat a lot of comfort food. What is comfort food? Is that a Big Mac? She said, no, it's chicken noodle soup. Friend, you can't buy comfort food for 99 cents in a little tin can. Friend, my comfort doesn't come from the table of man. It comes from the table of God. The Lord is my comforter. He said, I must go away, but I will send another comforter. Friend, I want to tell you that the Holy Ghost is with me. It's called Paraclete. in the Greek, that means one that comes alongside of you. And no matter what happens, it comforts you. It speaks in your ear. It lifts your hands. It gives you new energy. It's called comfort. It's one of the benefits of being saved and know you're saved. I think one of the worst things in the world is to claim you're saved but not know you're saved. Well, I think I'm saved. Friend, you got to know you're saved. You got to know you're saved when your own family members decry your salvation. When your biggest enemy makes fun of you and calls you a hypocrite. When your pastor says, well, I don't know about her. You got to know you're saved. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Why? Because I know what the Word of God says, but also I have got a comforter. It's a part of the wonderful benefits I have that the Lord is with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. Lo, I am with you to the end of the world. And it doesn't matter the megaphone that hell picks up and how loud it speaks against me. I am comforted by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And next, prosperity. I know there's a whole group of Christians that for some reason deride prosperity. They just still believe that poverty is chosen over prosperity. Why they believe that, I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, I am living proof that if you will seek first the kingdom of God, He will add all these things unto you. Everything I do is to put God first. If I have a choice between making money or being in the house of God on Sunday, I won't be in the house of God because I know the Lord will make it up. The Bible said above all, He wants me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. He takes care of everything that I have and everything that is presented because the Lord has called me to prosper. I've had all kinds of dire reports from bankers, from lawyers, from doctors, but they have all come to naught. It's a wonderful thing to be able to make your lawyer look like a liar, to make your doctor look like he doesn't know what he's talking about, to make your banker say, well, I didn't think it was going to work out. They don't understand that you have a source that they don't have. A friend of mine owed over $1 million. He went broke in the cattle business. He was a tither in this church for years. He helped us in the early days of this church. And he owed over $1 million. His banker said, I wish you would declare bankruptcy so I can get it off my books. He said, you don't understand. I don't believe in a bankruptcy. I'm going to pay you every dime I owe you. He said, sir, there's no way you can pay me. I see what you make. I see what you owe. There's no way you can pay me. But friend, he paid him because the Lord blessed him. He said, I don't see how you did it. Well, because there's a God that prospers me. And when his little grandson was born with his intestines on the outside of his body, and they literally went to Galveston, the children's hospital, it cost over $1 million to put those intestines back in that little baby's body and sew him up. And they sent me a picture of him as a senior in high school in his football uniform, and he became a football star. But the point I want to make is that when they couldn't pay $1 million, the hospital called and said, we have a few people that we call angels, and those angels are people that go through our books, and they select certain people, and they pay their bills. Somebody just wrote a $1 million check and paid off your grandson's bill. Friend, I want to tell you, there is a God that will take care of you. It takes a lay, it takes faith, it takes faithfulness, but there is a God that will give you the benefits of prosperity. There's a God that will take care of you. Friend, your destination is heaven, and that's the most important thing, but you ought to have a nice car getting there. You ought to live in a good home going there. You ought to be able to pay your bills without having to write hot checks. You shouldn't have to move all the time because you can't pay your rent. There is a God that wants to take care of you, and He is a God of prosperity, and He is my God. Oh, hallelujah. Assurance. I am assured. Friend, blessed assurance, the old song said. There's not much greater benefit than being assured. There is a God. So many people want to believe. I had a friend that was a lawyer, and he's dead now, and I really hope things worked out for him. But he was a great guy. But he was an atheist. He was my lawyer for years, one of the greatest attorneys in San Antonio. But he was not a mean atheist. He was not an antagonistic atheist. He just couldn't believe. He would say, Steve, tell me about the Bible. And I would talk to him. And he'd say, I got a question for you, Steve. Which Bible's right? And I said, well, there's different translations, but there's enough truth in any translation to get you saved, Jim. And he'd say, point well taken. But he never, ever accepted the Lord. He just couldn't get that assurance that there is a God. I don't know why, but I will tell you this. I believe in the presence of God more than I believe in the presence of any human being set in this building. My God is real. He's a God that is a good God all the time. Blessed assurance. He is a God that is the same yesterday and forever. Blessed assurance. He is a God that has all power. Blessed assurance. He is a God that has fought for me. Blessed assurance. What a benefit to know that there's somebody in charge. There's somebody bigger than me. There's somebody that's going to take care of my affairs. When finally the doctor shakes his head and said, we've done all we've done for you, sir, and you've come to the end of the line, I've got this assurance. There's somebody waiting for me on the other side. He is my God. He's been with me all this time, and he's not a God at the beginning and the end and nothing in between. He's a God of a day. He's my daily God. He has given me blessed assurance, praise God. And whatever my needs are, another benefit. He supplieth all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Not only that, the Bible said he gives me the desires of my heart. I have a problem at our house. My birthday's coming up, and Becky will say, what do you want for your birthday? And I'll think, and I'll think, and I'll think, and there ain't nothing I want for my birthday. Why is that? God has literally given me the desires of my heart. The only thing that I want now is to see God's kingdom prosper, people won to God, to see the church flourish, and people won to God, because God's given me all the desires of my heart. I don't have anything that I desire. I don't desire another ranch. I don't desire another car. I don't desire any of that. I'm just very content in the Lord. Why? Because it's part of the benefit. It is the earthly benefits of my heavenly affection. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very difficult for this flesh to grasp. But if you will seek first the kingdom of God, if you will put God first and you'll be faithful, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, when you come to the place I am in life, you'll say, thank God, one of these days I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to a mansion that is beyond description. I'm going to walk down the streets of gold through the gates of pearl and see the walls of jasper. I'm going to see great people I've known in the past, and we're going to rejoice for all eternity. But in the meanwhile, the Lord is blessing me every day. He loadeth his benefits on me daily. Every day I get up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got up there. I've been feeling so great. I got energy to burn like I used to have when I was younger. But I got up this week one day. I don't remember it was Monday, Tuesday, or somewhere. I got up and I just didn't feel good. I told Becky, I'm not feeling as good as I usually do. I got in my truck and drove an hour and 10 minutes. In that hour and 10 minutes, I praised Jesus. In an hour and 10 minutes, I rebuked my flesh. In an hour and 10 minutes, I quoted the verse. When I got out of my truck, an hour and 10 minutes later, praise God, I was 35 years old again. There is a God that loadeth his benefits on me daily. And friend, I've got amazing resources. When I need, I can call on Jesus. When I need, I can lift up his name. When I need, I can praise him, and he inhabits that praise. What a mighty God we serve. His name is Jesus. There's not a preacher that can dissuade me. There's not a newscaster that can discourage me. There's not a banker that can bring me down. There's not a lawyer that can destroy me. For in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. His name is Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, you can't go to heaven without Jesus. That's the destination. But I'll tell you something else. You can't have abundant life in a daily fashion unless you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Will you stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house? Do things always go your way? Oh no. Oh no. Lawyers call me with stuff I don't want. Bankers call me with stuff I don't want. People call me all the time with things I don't want. But friend, when you call me, you have to be reassured and know that I've got a power behind me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Bad things do happen, but praise God, I turn them around. Not through my flesh, but through the weapons that are not carnal, but mighty through God. And God turns it around, turns it around. Terrible, tragic news sometimes, particularly in my business. Just terrible things happen. But praise God, it'll only be just a few moments. A phone call a month ago, just going to make $500,000. Phone call. I told Brandon, they just called, the deal's off. But I said, I'm not through yet. Within 4 hours, I'd prayed and praised God. The lawyer called, Steve, the deal's back on. And praise God, within a few days, we'd closed and banked the money. But what's the point? Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I want you to know that the earthly benefits of serving God and setting your affections on things above will pay you in every possible way. From health to wealth to spiritual joy, it all comes when you set your affection on things to come. Somebody asked, I said, how's your life going? I said, just not long enough. But friend, it's going to be eternal in Jesus' name. Is there anybody in this building right now that said, Pastor, I'm facing a situation, a circumstance.